Okay, today's daf is Trumas daf Kuf Gimel, and we are on Kuf Beis Amabeis towards the end of the Mishnah. Towards the end of the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amabeis, as we continue here in the 11th parak of Maseches Trumas. So we spoke about a number of items in the Mishnah, including seeds and bones of kachim. As we will as we'll get to, the Gemara will talk about each of these sections, and we're up to the last section where the Mishnah says, "V'kama tehe b'trumas meiser shel demai v'yolichena l'kohen." If somebody has trumas meiser of demai, as we learned, is a chumra d'rabbanan most dami arutz are maaser, but we're not sure if we know they take off truma gedola, but some of them aren't familiar and wouldn't take off meiser rishon, which has trumas meiser in it. How much trumas meiser of demai is significant enough that I would have to give that to the kohen? Again, not literally yolichena l'kohen, because as we know, the kohenim come to the Yisraelim in certain venues in order to get there, collect their truma. But in other cases, it says yolichena l'kohen. That's the language of the Mishnah. So echan mishmona l'shminis, 1/8 of an eighth, meaning 1/64 of a lug. That's significant. So that's a shir midrabanan, right? Because the whole halacha is midrabanan. Because usually you go to the rov. Rov amir is master name, but midrabanan. If you have less than this, then you know, it's not significant enough to have to give it to the kohen. But if it's more than that, so that's where Chazal decided that that's how much one has to give. That's the, if you look in the Marafulda, he says, Shumas Meiser Shel Demai, Sha Meiser Shelo, Venosin Shumas Meiser LeKohen. That's a case where he gets to keep the Meiser Rishon, because if you remember, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya, Yisrael is allowed to eat Meiser Rishon, technically, it's not Aser, off limits to him. V'yesh B'yado Echad Mishmone, Shebishmina Salug, Chelek, Samach Dalin Mehalug, 1/64, Tzorech Laholicha LeKohen. Then he has to bring it to the Kohen. Avo Pachas Bizelo, but less than that, he does not have to give, right? Why is there such a limit? Midrabanan, we say there has to be a significant amount. So maybe this is Kein D'Oraisa Tikkun. That just like there has to be a significant amount on a Torah level, there has to be a significant amount on a D'Rabanan level. And what do you mean to give something to the Kohen? This is the idea of the Tosas Rid and the Nodeh Behuda that we have mentioned often, that even by Truma, yes, one tiny little bit of Truma allows you and removes the shame Tavel, Chita Achas, Poteris Isakri, but in terms of Mitzvahs Nesina, again, this is not Beferish anywhere in Chazal, it's hinted to in some places, but the Tosas Rid, Nodeh Behuda, the Maram Chalava, a couple of Rishonim and Achronim mention it, that to fulfill the Mitzvah of Nesina, Titainlo, to make it considered a giving, you have to give something significant. Right, if you just give chita achas, that's not called a giving. That could remove the status of tevel, and again, that's the lashon of chita achas, poteris es akri, but that's not a nesina. And that, according to those mefarshim, that's a chilek on a daraisa level. On a daraisa level, one does not fulfill the mitzvah of giving unless you give more than a chita achas. I don't know exactly what the shear is, but it has to be significant. So maybe on a derabanan level, Chazal patterned and said, yeah, also on a derabanan level, by Trumas Meiser Shel Demai, we're only going to make you give it to the Kohen if it's always significant. There we're not talking about the removing the shame Tevel, because that's, first of all, by Truma Gedola it was removed, and there we're just talking about the Trumas Meiser, which is in the Meiser Rishon, and you already took off the Meiser Rishon, but that could be part of how Chazal knew that there is a sheer minimum. You know, almost every Rav Soloveitchik talked about this often in his writings. Almost every din d'rabbanan has to have some type of kein d'oraisa tikkun. Kein d'oraisa tikkun. That if there's a d'rabbanan, it's patterned after a d'oraisa. You just got to figure out what the d'oraisa is and which is patterned after. Okay. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Bigaline agasim ukurus tomlin. He must isa. Back to the first line of the Mishnah. What did the first line of the Mishnah say on the Kuf Beis of an Aleph? Garine Truma. We spoke about Truma seeds. Seeds of Truma that are in Truma fruit. So the Mishnah said, when the Kohen gathers them together, if he's machshiv them, so then they have the status, they're asuros, then they are usher to Azar. And if he throws them out, mutaros. So again, we're not talking about actual fully edible seeds, because that's regular truma. And if a Kohen discards regular truma, it's still usher to Azar. I'm not talking about something that is regular food. But if it's something in the middle, and that is maybe nechal adei adchak, it's soft seeds that are edible. And that's what the Gemara says here. Galine agasim, right, the seeds of pears and Christomlin, another type of fruit, which are, as the Marafolda says, tapuchim ketanim she ruyin lachila. They are roy lachila, but they're not, right, or the Chaim Kadievsky, ruyim ksas lachila. Ksas, some people eat them. Some people eat them and some people don't eat them, but they are edible. So that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Amar Abelazar, Abelazar says, even one step further. Even if the seeds themselves aren't edible, but what if they're just filled with liquid? They're filled with juice. V'afilu tamar bigaline harotev. Even if they're talking about seeds of rotev, rotev are a type of moist dates. Moist dates, they still can get a lot of liquid sucked out of them. Bimichusarin lamatzmeitz, right, where you have not sucked them out yet. So those also have the status of, if the Kohen is machshed them and keeps them, those also would have the status. Again, Mara fold on top. Rotve tvarim shadayin lachahim. They're still moist. Vadayin alechos bam shalonis matzeitz halecha shaman. Asur mishal mitzvah salecha. They're also because of that, because you could suck out the liquid. Even if they themselves are not edible, but you could suck out the liquid. And the Gemara says that extension of Rabbi Lazar from Rabbi Yochanan, I'm not so sure about. V'hataninan, but didn't we learn why? Because in our Mishnah, the second line of the Mishnah, if you remember, we compared seeds to bones. V'chein atzamos, hektish, also bones of hektish. The Mishnah compared the seeds and the bones. Is the chameber ben mechusar is the matzmeitz? What by, if you're saying the first line of the Mishnah about the seeds, it's talking about even if they themselves don't have any, they're not edible, but if they have moisture in them that can be sucked out, so then that's also included. So, lechora, the same thing would have to be with the second line of the Mishnah. The bones. Are there bones that you could suck out the juice? Bones are totally inedible. That wouldn't be parallel. Right? I mean, we're not talking about bones that have some type of edible marrow in them. That wouldn't be called bones. That's edible. That's basar. But we're talking about just bones. So real bones. They don't have liquid. So lo berashe knafayim vaschusim. What must we be talking about in the Mishnah? We're talking about actual edible, softer parts of the animal that are considered bones. Maybe some type of ligaments. But once you cook them a lot, they become edible. So just like the first line. So, Asa, Rabbi Yevob, Shei Rabbi Yochanan, yes, that's exactly what our Mishnah is talking about. Barashik, Nefayim, Aschusim, Yimasisa, some type of cartilage that are on top of the shoulders of the animal that are somewhat edible themselves. Not talking about something inedible that happens to have liquid in them, but just something that is edible after lots of cooking. And again, the Marafolda says, Yilu Osan, Sheish, Ben Moach, those bones that have Moach, that have marrow in them, edible parts, Pshita to Asur Ashlichan. That they're not allowed to throw out. The Kohen's not allowed to throw out those bones. V'chiein b'hem moach, and then only if it doesn't have moach, ain't sham mitzeis, right? There's nothing to suck out if they don't have any moach. So it must be talking about the other parts of the animal that are edible. So again, bones that have edible parts of it, that's the Kohen is not allowed to. There is an isser of breaking bones, right? There is an isser of breaking bones. Again, eating edible bones might be usher for a Yisrael, but the Torah tells us in Parshas Bo, ve'etzem osish bruvo, right? Bones are not allowed to be broken of a carbon, and the context there is Karban Pesach, in Perakid Beis of Shmos, which is one has to be very careful about. A Karban Pesach is within its first year. It's a very young animal. Within its first year, and so the bones might not be fully developed, might be pretty soft, but that's the Issa D'Oraisa, breaking the bones. Mishar Shei HaMitzvah says the Sefer HaChinuch, HaMitzvah Tezayin, about breaking the bones. Lizkar Nisei Mitzrayim. To remember Nisei Mitzrayim, as all the mitzvahs of Karban Pesach are. Right, it's not appropriate for a refined nation to eat so ravenously that even the bones are broken. There's a language in the Gemara Megillah. Remember that? Like, I was so hungry, I even ate the plate. Right, there's in the first parak. But it says here that it's not covered for B'nai Malachim. V'yo'atze eretz. Those who give advice to the world. Legarera atzamos v'shaber kiklov, like a dog. Lo ya'us la'asos kacha, ki im la'aniyei ha'am ha're'evim. Even if one is hungry, one has to eat like with Derech Eretz. You know the message of breaking the bones? How we eat at a Kiddush. Right? We have to put up signs. Don't break the bones. I put up this chinuch on the wall. Right? We have to know how to eat properly. Right? Not to eat ravenously like a dog. V'yalkein v'tchilas bo'enu li'o skulas kol ha'amim v'malachas kodim ba'am kadosh. That's why right at the beginning, right when we are designated as Hashem's people, He gives us rules about how to eat. Ubakal shana v'shana ba'osu azman. And always, every year at that time, on Pesach, ro'i lanu la'asos ma'asim hamarim banu. It's appropriate for us to do actions that show, that reflect, ha'maila ha'gadola sha'alinu la ba'osu shah. The great maila that we elevated to. At that moment, umitocha ma'isa v'adimyon sha'anachnu osim nikva b'nafsheinu adar v'l'olam. And through that ma'isa that we do, we'll be koveya that midah of recognizing that we are a elevated people. And then the Chinuch says, this is where he develops it, I think, the first time, and then by breaking the bones, and then he says it about another 30 times in his Sefer, or maybe even more. V'yal tachshov b'ni, he wrote this for his son. V'yal tachshov b'ni l'tfos al dvarei v'lomar, v'loma ze yitzav o'san Hashem Yisbarach l'asos, kol eilu zikaren oso anes. Echad yal adav v'machshav oseinu, v'lo yishkach b'vizareinu. Why do we have so, this is the Ramban's kasha, right? Why do we have so many mitzvahs that are to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and remind us we went out that night, and we have to be elevated, a royal nation that night. Kilomi chachma titpaseini alzeh. It's not a wise question, son. I understand, and the Ramban asked it, why there's so many mitzvahs that are zichli Yetzias Mitzrayim. Umachsheves hana'ar yasiach al adabar kein. It's a youthful attitude that caused you to ask that kasha. V'yatabani im bina shimazos v'hatei azdecha u'shema. Right, listen carefully. If you understand this, listen and turn your ear. Alamedcha lahoil b'toru v'mitzvus. Da. And here's the first time again, I think he says it. Ki adam nifal kefi pu'losav. We are affected by our actions. As is quoted, achrei pu'los nimshachos alavavos. But he says it the first time here by breaking the bones. V'libo v'cho machshev osav tamin achar ma'isav shu oseh bohem. Our thoughts and our feelings are influenced by what we do. Im tov v'imra v'yafilu rasha gomer bilvavo v'chol yetzer machshavos libo rak rakal hayom. If somebody is a rasha gomer, im yera rucho v'yasim hishtadluso v'isko b'hasmada b'torah v'mitzvus. If all of a sudden he starts spending his day doing Torah and mitzvus and chesed, afilu shalol l'shem shamayim. Even if he has no good kavanas, miyad yinita el atov, he will be affected. If I spend all my day doing chesed, I'll be affected. Even if I'm not a Baal Chesed inside, I'm going to become a Baal Chesed by everything I do. Ubechol ma'isav yamis hayetzahara. Ki acharei ha'pu'ulos nimshachem alavavos. V'yafilu the other way. Afilu mietz adam tzadik gomor. Ulevavo yashar v'tamim. If I'm a big tzadik, chafetz b'torah v'mitzvus. Imulah yasok tamid v'dvarim shel dofi. If I start wasting my time, if I start just doing nothingness, Ki'ilu tomar derech mashal shechrichu amelach uminu b'umnasra. Let's say the king, the governmental official, forced you to do certain activities. So it affects you. We're affected by what we do. Be'emes im kol isko tamid kol ayo b'osu umnis yeshuv lezvam razman imitzidkas libo lios rasha gamur ki yadu adar ube'emes shekol adam nifal kefi pu'ulosav. And that is why he says v'yalkein amru chachamim ratzak adish baruch hu lezakos is yisrael afi l'cheber l'tora mitzvahs. Right, the Mishnah at the end of Makkos. Many different answers shot them to that line. Why is it a schus for us to have so much Torah? Just give us 100 mitzvahs. Give us 10 mitzvahs. 613. So the Chinuch's pshat is, he gives another pshat, interestingly, I'm thinking now, in Tav Tes Zayin, in Vaschanan, he gives a different pshat for Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here, I forgot, he says this one too. So Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lazakos, he gives the Torah mitzvahs, Kedei Lahatzvus Bohen, because he wants us to be shaped by the mitzvahs. Kol Machshav HaSein of Lios, but Kol Eskenu. Leitiv Lono Bachri Seinu, Ki Bitoch HaPulos HaTovos, Anachru nif'alim lios tovim v'zochim l'chaye ad. And therefore we are affected. And therefore, by not breaking the bones, that makes us into finer individuals. When we eat properly, when we eat with derech eretz, right, that makes us into finer individuals, and that is part of the issue. So again, it's a discussion in the Rishonim here, based on the Gemara, so how, if you have bones that have marrow that we just said are considered bones, and you have to like try to get it out, how do you get it out without breaking the bones from the side? Is one allowed to if one is just trying to eat, and that's the only way to get out? Right, that's the Minchas Chinuch. V'asr lechal atzamos harachim. Whatever he talks about more, but we'll continue. We'll continue now. Okay. Says the Gemara. So that was a little bit about bones and what the Mishnah is talking about. We're talking about edible bones. We're not talking about bones that just have some liquid in them, because that doesn't exist, says the Mishnah, and the parallel would be the seeds. Next, Subin Shel Chadashos. So the Mishnah had said, what about different parts of the bran. So he said the morsin, which is the total outer hull or shell of the barley, that's for sure is not edible, and that doesn't have any kedusha of truma, and that's mutter. That's mutter for a zar. Subin, but if it's the bran, which we said was the outer layer of the kernel, which is usually discarded, so it's usually discarded, so then it depends. If it's new grain or old grain. New grain is aser, because the new grain, the real grain inside, is really still sticking, and it's really connected to that layer. It's going to be hard to separate, so there's going to be real grain in it. And therefore, it's going to be aser to a yazar. If it's old, it's already separated. So what's old and what's new? So says the Gemara, Eloi nachadashos kol zman shabrios regilin lachbot. What's new? As long as people still beat it and thresh it by hand, that's when you know it's still new. Once it's old, they don't use their hands anymore. But once if it's new, then they still use the sticks and not the oxen, says the Marafot. I mean, mamash the hand. It means with your hand, like with a stick and beating it. Rav Acha amar at shloshim yom, 30 days. Machlokas about whether there is a machlokas here. Right, there's 30 days, that's the shear, or that's a different shear. Either way, we continue. Rabbi Yavo now is commenting on the next line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, what if you have somebody who likes very fine grain? Very fine. So he wants to sift it over and over and over again. So a normal person, a regular person, could have eaten some of the flour that I sifted out. So am I allowed to sift it out? So the Mishnah said, the important line, Noig b'truma k'derech shenoig b'chulin. The Mishnah had said that you could process your truma like you process chulin. But what if you have somebody who's acts, you know, very only wants to have very finely sifted? So the Mishnah gave a shear. The Mishnah said, Hamasales, if somebody sifts out one or two kav to a sa'ah, he should not throw out the extra that most people eat, but to leave it in a place, smoke a mutzah, because it has the status of truma. So the Gemara is about to say, is that an exact number? If you do a kav or a kabayim for a saw, but that's the maximum. You can't do more than that. Even a super fine flour guy, you know, shouldn't do more than that. Rabbi Yavo, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, keini shiura. That's the shear. That's the shear. Don't do more than that. Right? It's a question of what this line means, but we're going with this shot. That's the shear. Says the Gemara, but don't we have a brisa? V'atani misalis bechitim kol shirotze. You could sift the flour in as much as you want. You want to sift it again and again and again. Do it. That's normal. Again, the what comes out might have truma status, like the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said you're allowed to do that, but now we're just talking about the question, are you allowed to treat truma this way? So the Mishnah said you could do it the normal way. What if your normal way is very extreme and you sift it over and over and over again? Remember the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnayos and Menachos, talk about the flour used for the Beis HaMikdash. The Menachos were sifted over and over and over again many times. So what if somebody does that at home? So the Braisa says, as much as you want, Misalis Lachitib Kol Shirotze, Umekaniv B'yera Kol Shirotze, and also peeling vegetables. What if I want to peel a vegetable? Do I have to worry about this Kedusha there? So the Braisa says, you can do whatever you want. You might have to treat what's taken out with Shroop, with Kedusha, but you're allowed to do it. That's not called ibud of the wheat or of the vegetables. So stira, according to Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah gives a shear, one or two kavim per sa'ah, and this brisa seems to say as much as you want. So the Gemara says, no, read the brisa in light of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yavo, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, what, first answer, b'ma'amido al trumaso. That means, no, it's only up, that's, what does that line mean? Hard line to translate, but it means the shear of the Mishnah. Right, don't think this is however you want. You can do as much as you want, but up until the shear of kav or kabayim to a sa'ah. One answer. Second answer, Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rabbi Elah, kan b'shnei ravon, kan b'shnei sova. Depends if it's a year of famine or a year of plenty. In a famine year, this is inappropriate. Inappropriate to just discard the truma that you're taking out. You have to, depends on, you know, the situation. A year of sova, okay, we're more flexible. Does it have the status? Is it normal to treat truma this way? Is it not normal to treat truma this way? Depends on the circumstance. So I don't know, would it be the same thing with somebody who usually does not sift and they do it? Would that also be wrong? Because they can eat it this way, and now all of a sudden I decide I want to eat it a different way, but it depends on context. So the Chazon Ish discusses how much the Isser of Ibud, it's based on Mishmeres Shrumosa, you're not allowed to be Ma'ame Truma, but part of it also flows from the idea that there's a mitzvah to eat Truma. Right? That's also part of this destroying. There's the act of destruction, but there's also a mitzvah to eat. So is there a separate mitzvah to eat Truma? Right? The Ramban, if you remember, counted a separate mitzvah of eating Peres Shvius. And even there was a machlokes, achronim. Does the Ramban really mean a mitzvah kiyumis, or just does he mean more of an isser aseh? Make sure you don't lo la schora and lo la ibud. So here too, even if you might say that there's a mitzvah of eating shuma, the chazanish in shvius, in yud dalad yud here, nira de ein mitzvahs achilas truma chova. Ela kishakoin ochla bitara ubigdula kiye mitzvah. Mitzvah kiyumis. The ikar ha-mitzvah hu kiyum. Halosa asei shebo. Right? So it's an asei that flows from the losa asei. Ki ba'achla koe nirem bezeh kabbalas mitzvah si yisbarach. She'aser ba'achila zar. By the koen eating it, that shows that you're guarding it, that a zar doesn't eat it, and that it doesn't get destroyed. U'ba'achlo betara kabbalas iser tumah. And you are protecting it from becoming tame. Aval ein mitzvah be'etzem achila. Shaharambam lo mana b'minyan ha-mitzvahs. The Rambam didn't count it. Vaharamban in Shoresh Ches chashav iser tuma la'asei aval lo etzem achila. So that's what he first says. And then he says v'yoser ha-yanira sheish mitzvah ba'achilasa midem avarech alel. If it's just preventative, you never make a bracha on preventative. Right? You don't make a bracha on mayim achronim. You only make a bracha on mayim rishonim. Mayim achronim is just preventative. The dirty hands and the melach. Mayim netilas yadayim rishonim, that adds kedusha. You don't make a bracha on kashering. You only make a bracha on tevilas kelim. Because kashering is just preventative, removing a problem, removing not kosher. In my pots. Tevila is being most of kedusha. Like a ger goes to the mikvah. I have to give kedusha. So the Chazanish says, the fact that you make a bracha on eating truma, maybe that does reflect on something more positive. It's not just an act that prevents tuma and achila zar. Right? There's a bracha there. Ela she'e mitzvah sachova. So he has that middle compromise shita. It must be that it is a bracha, but it's a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyuvis. One might also, he doesn't have this formulation, but one might also say, another middle formulation, the mitzvah is for the truma to be eaten, and not so much for the kohen to eat it. Is there a mitzvah for every kohen to eat a kezias? Maybe not, like the Beis Halevi talks about, and the Chasam Sofer talks about achilas kachin. It's the focus on the chefsa, that it shall be eaten. Is that enough to get you a birchas mitzvah? Could be, it's still something positive. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. Somebody's got to do it. And that relates also to the last Rambam in Hilchos Shrumas. The last Rambam there talks about the bracha. The Rambam says, kol ha'ochel truma. Anyone who eats truma, mivarech birchas ochel machal, makes the bracha on that food, mizonos or ha'etz, v'yacharkach mivarech asher kedushana b'kedushas o'shel aron, v'tzivanu lechol truma. Anyone who eats truma, v'kach kibalnu v'ra'inum, mivarechim afilu b'chalas chutz la'aretz, shegam achilas kachi agvul ka'avoda, shenem ra'avodet batona atenis ku'unaschem. Make a bracha. Ask the Radvaz, v'yim tomar, v'ha ein achilas truma mitzvah zasei ka'achilas kachim. So why would you make a bracha? Achilas kachim, it says, b'aylam ochlim, k'anim ochlim, b'aylam eschaprim, g'marim psachim. So why here? So v'yesh lomar, v'tzivanu sheyochlu atruma ha-kohanim, v'lo zarim, sh'adavar yadua, she'im ratza ha-kohen shelo lechol truma kol yamav v'rishis b'yado, v'lo avar alasei v'heichan tziva. So he says, like that Chazonish, that it's also to a czar. So Memela, a Kohen has to eat it. But it's not really a mitzvah chiyuvis in that way. Remember, one of the Achronim notes, anyone who eats Truma makes the bracha. Who is the Rambam including? Is he including anybody? He could have just said, call Kohen. Call a Ochel Truma. Who is he including there? So remember, Rabbi Yonasan Sachs discussed this once in a shiur years ago. Right? A Kohen eating Truma, that's a mitzvah. An animal of a Kohen eating truma, is that a mitzvah? A Kohen, something edible for animal, that's giving karshinim, that's a heter. That's a heter. So a Kohen eating truma, that's a mitzvah. An animal eating truma, an animal of a Kohen eating truma, that's a heter. He's allowed to. What about Ashes Kohen? What about Ashes Kohen? Right, a Basi Yisrael that marries a Kohen. Whatever a Kohen has, is she the same? Does she also? She's not blood Kohen. She's married in. She's also Kinyan Kaspo. So for this halacha, do we compare, does she have a mitzvah? Is she, or does she also have a heter? Right? Which one is it? So some say maybe that's what the Rambam is including. Kol ha'ochal truma. Anyone who eats truma. Maybe that's including an Eishes Kohen. A Bas Yisrael eating. Maybe that's what he suggests. Okay. We continue. Says the Gemara, Tamantanina, and we learned in the Mishnah Maseches Idios, Mi'i Avatiach, V'knuvas Yerachal Truma, the seeds of a watermelon and the peelings of a truma vegetable. So what do you do with those things that everybody throws out? Right, I guess we're talking about the inedible seeds of a watermelon, assuming Avatiach is watermelon as we're translating it. So, Rabbi Dosa Mater Lazarim Bacham Osrim. Rabbi Dosa says they're mutter to Azar because the Kohen throws it out. He's not machshav it as truma. It's not ochel in the normal sense. It's ochel ksas, but that's not truma. And Rabbi Yoch and the Chum say Osir. Rabbi Yevobashim, Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu. The Rabbi Yochanan says, when did the Chachamim say it's Osir? Ela b'kruvas yerek shel gananin. That's only by gananin, people who sell vegetables. Their peelings are usser. Why? Because they throw out a lot of extra. They want their vegetables to look really nice in the store. So even though people at home might eat some of those outside peels, a ganan, somebody who sells vegetables, is going to take off extra. So that's where the chachamim say usser. Aval biknuvas yerek shel bali batim, but the peelings of private individual balabatim, afar banim motim, their banim would admit that those are mutter. Those are mutter, because those probably the balabais just takes off the really disgusting ones, the peels on the outside of the lettuce of whatever it is, and therefore those would be mutter. Interesting. If you look at the Rambam had the exact opposite girsa. The Rambam has the opposite girsa. When the Rambam quotes this in Yud Aleph Yud, the Rambam quotes it's usser the balabais peelings, right? But the ganan peelings are not usser. So you must have a different svara. At home, we're more makbid. We don't want to eat even half disgusting things. But the person who sells, he wants to sell his stuff. He doesn't want to lose so much money, so he'll leave more on. Even if they're a little bit, as my mother would say, a little sad leaves on the outside. They're not totally disgusting, but they're drooping. And so the Rambam has the exact opposite gears of this line. Okay. Rabbi Bun asks, Lo mistaver b'truma gedola? L'chora, this whole discussion is only by truma gedola, where we just said before, there's no shir midaraisa. So there you could take off some and it won't have the status of truma. Avo b'trumas meiser, but b'trumas meiser, which we discussed a long time ago, trumas meiser we know is an exact measurement, right? It's 10% of 10%. Meiserishon was 10%, the trumas meiser was 10% of that. So trumas meiser, so then, no, you can't take anything off. If something is already labeled as Shumas Meister, then everything is included in that 10%. And it all has that status. So, Ein Ha'alin Tlushin Al-Alin. You can't pluck anything. V'lo Aklachim Tlushin Al-Aklachim. You can't remove any of the stalks because it'll all have that Bidiyuk status of 10%. Okay, there's also an issue of Baltashchis here, but we'll leave that to see if we have time later. Hirchino V'mitzas. Back to the next line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if I'm pouring Shuma out, so once, from one kli to another, so once it gets very, very slow, like there's two or three drops that are dripping, I don't have to worry about what's left in the pot. I don't have to worry about what's left in the pouring pot, I can put that down. But then if it gathers into a puddle, here chinav amitzas, if I pour truma out of this kli, so then I could pour chulin in. But what if I didn't pour chulin in yet, and I get it gathered, now I see. Sometimes that happens, you're pouring something out of a pitcher, or a cup, nothing left, and then a few minutes later you see there's a whole puddle on the bottom. So then that has significance. Then that is truma. So ask the Gemara, there's a stira, because the Mishnah, Baba Basra says, Taman Taninan, what if I'm selling you a bottle of oil? I'm selling you some oil, and I pour it out of my kli, and Erechinav Amitzas, and then after I poured it out, I stopped with a few drops left, and then I looked into my kli, after a few minutes, I see there's a puddle there. I'm allowed to keep it. Harehi Shamocher, meaning, it's not significant. The buyer doesn't get it. So he asks the Gemara. It's a steer in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if you see the puddle there after you poured it out, it has significance, and now it's called truma. While if I sold you some oil, and now I have a puddle, I'm allowed to keep it. Not significant. And then we skip a line, because we flip the gears here. V'hachat amar hachin, those four words we put here, right? And here you say this. And there you say this. So stira. So two answers. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, leskan shalmocher el shalokeach. Rabbi Yochanan says, the easiest way to answer a steer is to change the girsa. Right? So what does he do? You're right. Over there in the Mishnah Baba Basra, really, it should be shalokeach. Shalokeach, not kachalokeach, shalokeach. Right? It's the buyer, meaning if you get a puddle, after you sold the oil and now you have the pot. Okay, you got to give it to the buyer because it has significant. Amar Reb Yitzchak Bar Elazar, a different answer. Mishum. No, there's a difference between dini mamonis, monetary law. We're buying and selling oil. So I'm mochel. After you pour it out, you have a couple of drops left. I'm like, the rest I have yeish. I'm not mochel. This isn't yeish like by aveda. Rather, by context, regular kinds of yesh, but I let you keep it. But truma, that has status. That has status of kedusha. So that has definitions. Nothing to do with my das. And therefore, there's a difference between the two. Period. Ask the Gemara. V'yafa kodesh kein, would you have the same rules like the Mishnah has by the drops and the gimel tipin? Would you have the same rules by hekdesh, not just by truma? So asar b'yavo b'shem rabbi yochanan, yeah, v'yafa kodesh kein. You'd have the same rules by hekdesh. Right, if you have liquid hektish, I don't know, wine or oil, so then that also, if you have a little bit left, if it gets to a up to three drops, you're good, but if it gets a puddle, so then you'd be machmir. Amar Rav Hoshea, lo shanu, when do we say that the same rules apply to kachim, ela b'kachim sheyesh lahen matirin? What does that mean? By karbanos that are already mutter for a kohen to eat. Right, Chai Kadievsky, Shirayim Shehein Lachila. Right, after I give a carbon mincha, the Shirayim are left over for a Kohen to eat, the oil and the flour. So if I have leftovers, so that's what we say the same Shirim would apply. Avah B'Kadshim Shein Lahem Matirim. But if it's Kadshim that are not edible, they all are Hukrav on the Mizbeach. Let's say, I don't know, Nisa Chayayin, some wine. So then I feel Kalshut Tzorach Lahachzir. Then you can't, all of that, it goes to the base of Migdash. Right, all of that, you can't, some nisa chayayin that's left over in the cup, you gotta pour that on the mizbeach. Right, so Rav Oshia says that when Rav Yochanan says the same rules in our Mishnah apply to kachim, it's only by kachim that are mutter to a kohen now. Similar, Rav Ibun Bar Chiya Boi, hadin luk shemon shel mitzora. What if you have the luk shemon of a mitzora? Right, Parshas Tazria Mitzora, right there, we use in the process of being Mitzahar Mitzora. We pour some blood, we drip some blood on their ears and fingers and toes and some oil. And the leftover oil goes to the Kohen. So ask the Gemara, what happens if you have something that's going to become Mutter to the Kohen, but it's not Mutter yet? It's not Mutter yet. So is that, do you say that these rules of Mishnah apply, that if you have some leftover, it's okay? Or no, right now it's not Mutter yet. So tzorach lahachzer ain't a tzorach lahachzer. Do you have to put that, return that and to the rest, and it's not mutter for a person yet or not? And it's not like just, it's not just, okay, be machmir. Whatever you do is dangerous, is risky. Im tamer tzorach lahachzer v'lo hechzer, if you have to put it back and you don't, over mishim chisaron, then you're lacking in the oil that has to be used. Vim tamer ain't a tzorach lahachzer v'hechzer, and if you don't have to put it back and you do, over mishim chisaron, then there's too much in here, because you're allowed to keep the oil that you have. So Rav Chanina lo amar kein, Rav Chanina didn't ask it as a question, as an unanswered. Ella, he had the following. He had Rav Oshia's statement, like we had before. Amar Rav Oshia lo shana lo b'kachem sheish lematirin. Avakachem sheish lematirin afil l'kol shu tzorach lahachzir. Right, that was Rav Oshia's statement that we had. And then the Gemara compared it. Didn't just ask any baya. But the Gemara said, v'hadin luk shemen shel mitzora. The luk shemen of a mitzora, lo k'kachem sheish lematirin ein, isn't it like a carbon that's already mutter, v'teimar tzorach lahachzir, and you're telling me you have to put it back? If you're telling me you have to put it back, you know what that shows? Hada amra tzorach lahachzir, v'lo hechzir, over mishim chisaron. That if it's not mutter yet, then you cannot partake, and the rules of the Mishnah would not apply. And if you don't put it back, you're missing. Because every drop, it has to be exact. Everything that goes in the mizbeach, the komets, remember, it has to be exactly what's under the three fingers of the kohen. Even what's in between the fingers is a question, as we know. So it has to be exact. So therefore, if you have to put it back, it must be that even if it's not mutter yet, you have to put it back, even if it's going to become mutter. Okay, we'll stop there by the two dots. And Mel Hashem, we will continue in these last couple of days of Mesaches Trumas.